Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Who it? Ha ha!
What COVID? Was what
away
was that?
We go.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here.
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Please send stuff, questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, and certainly send wretched stories, articles, sermons, good, bad, or otherwise, to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org.
To the mailbag
we go. In this day, we actually have a theme. I peeked. We've got a theme. A lot of people asking about stuff. Because our culture right now, you got yourself some shifting sands going on. Things are feeling a little unstable. Maybe a little nervous. Eric writes, in this day and age, when it seems like the world is getting more chaotic, yep, should married couples be having children, or are we not at that point yet? That's an interesting question, Eric, and I think that I would have to say I don't think we're ever at that point. I just don't see the Bible instructing us there are times to abstain from having children because things are looking really chaotic. Now, can a couple make that choice? Yes, but don't do it out of fear. Don't do it out of, yikes, everything's going to be a mess and God can't take care of us. That would be a bad decision. If a couple, though, decides without that sort of trembling involved, well, you know, it seems for right now because of our job scenario, because where there's danger that this could be a time when it would be really difficult. I understand that, but I don't think that we're told in the Bible that the culture, when it gets to a certain level, you should abstain from having children. I would actually argue that the culture that the first century Jewish people were living in when the New Testament was written, worse than our current culture. I don't think we've maybe begun to understand what chaos can look like. They were oppressed by a foreign nation, this proud Jewish people who were told, you're my chosen people. You're my covenantal people. You're the people of the law. They're being oppressed by a foreigner? This it reminds me of the encounter that Jesus had. It's a long, lengthy in the market diatribe that we see. John chapter 5, really through 11. Sometimes it's kind of a bit of a challenge to determine, was there time in between this chapter and that chapter? Nevertheless, the Jews that said, we've never been slaves. We've never been owned by a foreign nation. Are you kidding me? Starting with the Egyptians, you've got the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians. You oppressed constantly. And we're just starting to see that. And I think that we see in the New Testament nothing that would indicate, look, while things are this rotten, don't be having kids. So please don't let what's going on in our world keep you from the joys and the privileges of bearing image bearers of God. In fact, if I were going to make some sort of an argument, now's the best time to be having kids because we need more salt. And we need more light. idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. Todd, do you think America is headed to a second civil war? I could only offer you my opinion. And that, the last time I checked the trades, it's trading at about nothing. It does look wonky out there. There's no question about it. And I think big foundational problems are happening that are almost irreparable at this point unless there is a movement of God. We are seeing, I think, the fruit of bad teaching in government schools, bad teaching coming from music, from Hollywood. By the way, speaking of schools, this article that I read is probably going to cause you to go, oh, that's a stupid headline. Basically, it said, here's the solution for our problem. Let's not defund the police. Let's defund schools. Okay, why are you laughing, Mr. Eddie's father?
Oh.
I told you you'd think it's funny. But why? Why does that strike you as funny?
Well, technically, schools are where we're supposed to educate our children, and we're going to teach them right and wrong, which is not what the school should have to do. So if we take that away, we'll have ignorant masses.
Well, that's the social contract that we have together, is it's worth us putting together some money to educate the kids.
Yeah.
That was an agreement that got made without it being framed that way. But nevertheless, see, that's why I knew you'd get man caught in a trap, because the article said, here's why. What have these schools been doing for the last 4 or 5 decades?
Oh, it's going to be an anti-public school thing.
Yes.
Got it.
Yep. All right. Because they're indoctrinating kids to hate this country, to say that it's nothing but been founded and grounded in moral evil, and that it really just needs to be overturned because the whole system is terrible. Maybe we should stop paying for that. I thought it was a rather interesting little twist on the subject. His encouragement was just don't even send your kids to those schools, because they're going to get indoctrinated like nobody's business, and you will reap the fruit from that. And we are seeing that, are we not? Haven't we seen that now for a couple of decades at least, where we see the statistics of 60 to 80% of evangelical kids, they leave youth group, they run off to the university, and they're goners. And we're paying for that. Mom and Dad, you do what you think best for your family, but worth considering. And if, by the way, as you go about the business of considering that, if you find yourself saying, not my kid, then you've stepped right into the pothole that millions of evangelicals have. Speaking of indoctrinating the kids in university, I am so excited. I have not wavered an ounce on my enthusiasm for Road Trip to Truth. Absolutely, positively, cannot wait to show you this TV show that we've concocted. 13 episodes to equip the kids. When they do go to university, they are going to get blasted. Postmodernism, socialism, anti-capitalism, and most certainly anti-God. No, anti-Jesus. Because they're not anti-small g God. It's not like, hey, we're opposed to deism. No, no. It's Jesus that is the rub. And this 13-episode series, you're going to love it. You're going to gobble it up. I do believe that we're going to be releasing that in November. And it's going to have a youth group study guide. It is being written right now. It's going to help. And I think a lot of evangelical kids are going to get saved from it. Back to the mailbag, sent to idea@wretched.org. Do I think that there's going to be another civil war? Could be argued we're actually in it right now. When you've got 1,500 buildings being burned down in a major city like Minneapolis-St. Paul, I don't know what revolution looks like, but I've read some books. That sure does look like it.
Well, at least they're not toppling statues.
You know, Joey, about that, I did see a couple of things in the Twitter sphere that suggested maybe some people have been thinking about it.
No.
Question.
Well, they'll go through proper channels first, right?
When does the activist... when does the activist find an unacceptable threshold for law-abiding citizens to resist this nonsense? Does Romans 13 allow us as Christians to resist at any point? My question is, what does resist mean? What does that mean? This is something, I don't know if you consider this a trap and a danger, but I do. I see articles, I hear radio broadcasts, I will watch a cable news show, and I hear the complaint, we gotta do something! That's enough of this. It's time for the men of America to stand up and stop this insanity. We'll be back after a break. Okay, yeah, all right. So, yeah, I'm annoyed now. What am I supposed to do? I'm scared because you told me that this is all breaking down and I got to do something. What am I supposed to do? We're not revolutionaries. That's what we don't do. We do not bear arms to topple governments. We do not tear down statues. That is not the role of the Christian. We are subversive in that we change hearts, not systems. Now, having said that, if you wish to participate in this system through voting, through running for politics, please feel free to do that. I encourage you to vote. If you choose to get involved to try to help your fellow man through political means, please do that. But that is not the mandate of the church. Jesus came to save sinners, to build his church. Hey, well, if we don't have good laws, the church is going to face persecution. Yep, like it always has, and like it always will. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we passively accept things, but we've got a very short list of responses that we can offer. We are not revolutionaries. If there is an American Civil War, there's a much bigger battle that's raging for the souls of men. That's the business we're about. That is the big deal. And if we lower our sights and become revolutionaries, I don't think we're being biblical, and I don't think we're aiming high enough. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Always appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us at Wretched Radio. Have you bookmarked? Have you checked out? Have you become a regular at the home of all things wretched? Wretched.org. It's where all things wretched live on the interweb. And I do mean all things. Full 60-minute Wretched Radio episodes, 30-minute Wretched TV episodes. There is our Wretched store with over 40 amazing resources like Jesus Unmasked, Drive-By False Teaching, and of course our latest evangelistic booklet, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. All those terrific resources are just waiting at the Wretched store. If that's not enough, and it hardly ever is, there's the Wretched Library, where we've hand-selected a whole bunch of great videos, all arranged by topic. From abortion to pneumatology to worship, it's all waiting at the Wretched Library. If you're able and you're not a gospel partner, would you visit wretched.org/donate while you're there? Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And in the meantime, while we in the West are still experiencing struggles and challenges courtesy of COVID in Eastern Europe, the effects have been even more profound. Nevertheless, Tomorrow Club's continuing their great ministry work in European countries.
Right now, Tomorrow Club leaders are putting together more than 2,000 care packages to deliver to the neediest families in the towns and villages we serve. The packages will provide enough food for a couple of weeks, basic food items like buckwheat, macaroni, rice, canned meat, oil. There's even a package of candies for the kids and, in some places, seeds for the garden. And because most of these packages will be going to unbelieving families, along with the food items, there'll be a simple gospel presentation.
Would you please consider supporting Tomorrow Clubs at this time? Wonderful gospel ministry reaching the poorest of the poor in Eastern Europe. Please learn more. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Let me share a sample from our latest evangelistic resource, The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. Christianity is not a blind faith, it's an eyewitness faith. The Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. The Man Who Split Time is perfect for any skeptic in your life. Whether it's for evangelizing, giving it to your agnostic friend, or handing out to your youth group, The Man Who Split Time will give you all the answers you need about the deity of Jesus Christ. For more awesome proofs that Jesus is God, all you have to do is visit wretched.org/time and order your copies of The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs That Jesus is God. Get your copies today. wretched.org/time. That's wretched.org/time. Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip Indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com.
Important dates in Christian history. 1545. The Council of Trent opens. Called by the Roman Catholic Church in response to the Reformation, it addressed abuses in the Catholic Church and further entrenched dogmas concerning the authority of the Pope, the need for works in salvation, and the saving nature of the Mass. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, amen to this text. This is Wretched Radio. Have you ever done this? I haven't. Personally, but maybe you have been talking to somebody on the phone and you go into a panic and you start hitting your usual places where that cell phone is usually tucked away. Hey, I can't find my cell phone. Hold on, I'll have to call you back. Does anybody know where my cell phone is? I've never done that myself. No, sirree,
where
Bob.
Where are my glasses on your
so
head?
So I'm standing here. And by the way, yes, I am standing here, not sitting here, standing here on Wretched Radio. And I heard a little... And I started, where is that thing? I can't find my phone. Oh, it's in my back pocket. Okay. Sorry. I kind of lost track of it. Isn't this thing an umbilical cord? Do you feel a sense of anxiousness? I guess maybe anxiety would be the correct word. When somebody says, hey, let me just use your phone for a minute. Why, don't you have one? Hey, let me use your phone to search something. Well, you could search on your phone. Hey, let me just use your Google map for a minute. Don't you have one on yours? Because I don't like anybody even touching my phone. And then when they do, you almost done? You got that thing done? I mean, I've just read these things. I'm not saying I myself experience these things. So here's the doodle that I received in my back pocket just a moment ago. Received from my daughter. Enzyme specificity and efficiency. Turnover number.
Oh, wait, not that kind of text from your daughter.
Turnover number is the number of substrate molecules an enzyme converts to a product per second. Generally, 1 to 10,000 can be as high as 500,000. And with that, she connected this note. The human body is amazing. How can anyone say we aren't created by a creator? Amen to that. Scientists, medical professionals, you have got to suppress the truth in unrighteousness so hard because it is so obvious that this thing is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And yet, nope, it just happened all by itself. This was a random act of collisions that just happened. By the way, another subject that we dismantle on Road Trip to Truth. I'm getting more and more excited about this thing. We're going to be releasing this. Your kids will need to see it. I'm just telling you, it is going to help them a lot to be prepared when they go to university and they tell them, no, it just happened all by itself. And speaking of my daughter, Joey, I got one for you. You were saying that wasn't like a warm and fuzzy text. Here's a little flashback for you. And this might be an encouragement for you, Dad, if you've got young children and this doesn't make you go, then you might not be enjoying the time with your kids as much as you should be. Because I'm telling you, in a blink, they are not going to talk like this for long.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false, he will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior.
Now here's my favorite part about this flashback to my daughter who just sent me some sort of text on enzymes. Is that what that was about?
Yep.
Yeah. Just for whatever this is worth. I know you didn't ask. And this is almost like being tortured by somebody who goes, oh, let me just show you that picture on my phone. Oh, do you have to? The only phone I like looking at is my own. Do you have to show me that picture? Listen to her brain working. I can hear it. And this is the way that she still is. I can hear her brain. She can't remember the next sentence. So she's rewinding the tape so she can get it back up to speed.
Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Almighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory.
Enjoy your kids while they're young. It is still precious when they're older, but there is a sweet stage that comes and it goes, and you're going to miss it, Pop, Mom. So enjoy it, and don't bellyache about how difficult it is. And while you're at it, send your emails to... You can send your bellyaches to idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org. Let me return, if you don't mind, to the email that was sent in, because I do think that this is important, because a lot of us are thinking through these issues. This was sent in from Eric asking, are we going through a civil war in our country? How does the Christian react? How do we deal with these things? What if they start tearing down crosses? Yep. What if they start breaking stained glass windows? Yep. We've seen this before. What if they start killing Christians? This could be happening. Let's run through a bunch of aspects of this. Is self-defense biblical? Yes. Yes, it is. When Jesus said turn the other cheek, he was not talking about self-defense. Jesus was talking about being offended by somebody. You turn the other cheek, you let it go. That doesn't mean that you cannot protect your body and your family. You may protect even your property, but we are not vigilantes. We have to use the system that God has provided for us, or we take it. It's unmistakable in the New Testament that Paul, Peter, John, James do not give instructions for how to go about the business of dismantling a wicked government or wicked oppressors. It's just not there. God is more interested in how will we live when it happens? And we see that consistently. We see it in relationships. We see it with employers. We see it with governments. You submit and you do what you're supposed to do. And you even honor them as you do. Why? First Peter, the book of persecution, tells us so that they might ask about the hope that lies within you. What? First Peter, people are going to get shellacked. And he's writing to these people, and he spends basically 3 chapters really, up to verse 15 in chapter 3, telling them to be holy, love one another, be great in marriage. What? What? Where's the persecution rules here? When do I get to take out my gun and start shooting at officials? You don't see it. Instead, he encourages us to be holy, different, and set apart so that this persecution that we might be experiencing has everlasting fruit, that they will see our response and ask about the hope that lies within us. Get saved and glorify our God who is in heaven. That's our response. Peculiar? Absolutely. Does this mean that we don't use any of the still available methods and means to do good and to have systems in place that are good for people? Didn't say that at all. But if we are considering becoming anarchists or vigilantes or joining a gang to topple statues and overthrow governments, that ain't biblical. Send your emails to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. Lots and lots of challenging questions about our current times. Let's get to COVID issues, shall we? By the way, do you find yourself a little tired of the same conversations lately in your home? The COVID conversation, the recycling of that, and the whole racial unrest that's happening? I just... are we just going to see one round of difficulties and confusion after another? And the answer is we could be. And now we are going to see if those songs that we were singing since childhood, I got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Ding dong, government is here. Put your mask on. Down in my heart, down in my heart. You're going to be able to keep singing? Are you going to be able to have joy even as the foundations crumble? That might be the next challenge. Todd writes, Luke, I live in Tennessee. My brother is still in college. His school has declared this semester that they have to take flu shots once the COVID vaccine is created. They're going to have to take that too. My fear is it will get to a point where we won't be able to do anything without taking the COVID-19 shot, including working for a food plant like I do. How as a Christian should I handle being required to take a vaccine I do not trust? Well, let me just separate the issue just a little bit. If the government tells us to do something, we obey. Now, if it's genuinely life-threatening, you can protect your body, but you need to know there's going to be a consequence. If you really believe that that vaccine is going to have an effect on you that could be harmful to your body, then your option is then you don't have a job. And you're going to have to find a way to make ends meet. What's the option? You don't really even have one, but working through it biblically, we have to submit to government. And if you're not willing to do that because of a fear, then you will pay the price for that. It could mean going without a job. It could mean being put in jail. And if we are not starting to increasingly think in those terms, we will be tempted to become unbiblical Zionists. This is Wretched Radio.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Know your church fathers. Irenaeus was an apologist and disciple of Polycarp, who was a disciple of the Apostle John. He served as the Bishop of Lyon and wrote against heresies, a refutation of Gnosticism and Docetism, in which he demonstrated the coherence and necessity of the Incarnation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
More like the lion who just had the thorn taken out of his paw. This is Wretched Radio. Ah, that molar feels better. Ah, don't you love actual science? When you go to the dentist, you got something that's grinding and rubbing and causing your tooth to go, I think I'd like out of here. And then they fix it really simply. They remove the thorn from your paw, or in this instance, your molar from grinding on the other one. Ah, it makes for a happy Lion Radio host. This is Wretched Radio. If you happen to be one of those medical professionals, praise God for what you do. No kidding. What a blessing. That's real science. Evolutionary stuff, that ain't science. But wow, when people do genuine organic science for human flourishing, especially at this moment, my right molar on the upper side, very grateful for you. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org. And speaking of me, Todd, we didn't ask. Actually, somebody did. They sent an email to idea@wretched.org. Question, so what's with standing while you're doing radio these days? You even had Steve Lawson standing. Yes, I did. Is this a new exercise trend I missed? Yes. Yes, it is an exercise trend. I read that it's better for you to do more standing than sitting. And my back went out about a month ago and I couldn't sit. And I started to stand and I'm just too lazy to adjust the microphone again. So there you have it. Send your emails, questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to idea@wretched.org. idea@wretched.org.
That was a big trend with the news anchors about 5 to 10 years ago. So
They still do some of that in Atlanta.
Very Christian of you to be following the trend.
To follow the trend.
10 years
yeah,
later.
I'm right in alignment with that. Some of them still do that in Atlanta where they stand up for some of it. I can't get used to it. That's just how you grew up. A news anchor sits down and reads the story.
I prefer to sit in one of those like kneeling chairs.
No, are those still around?
No, I haven't seen one of those for 20 years.
Yeah, those are like at the Scandinavian stores. They were big. right?
Yeah.
Leave it to the Swedes and the Norwegians to come up with that for a chair.
To turn sitting into kneeling. I mean, really.
There was a store, and in fact, I think it came out of the Twin Cities, matter of fact. It was Scandinavian design. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, I think so.
I think they just changed it because it was kind of hard for people. They shortened it to Super Stark is what they came up with. Furniture. Just really. Idea at wretched.org. Do you know Martin Luther had an effect on Scandinavian design? What? That's
he
right.
Did?
It is believed. Yeah, it's true. Actually, it's a lot of people, sociologists, people who study history, the effects of Martin Luther in Europe, massive. Not only did he, with the translating of the New Testament into German, did he codify the German language, but he also had effects in other areas. Marriage, for instance, singing in church, for instance, and even furniture design. Whole lot of Lutherans up there in Scandinavian land, and they believed that it was frugal to not be, you know, be showy, rich-looking, and so they designed furniture to be very minimalistic and very humble, and that is endured to this day. So if you don't like those ergonomic chairs where you kneel in them, well, then you don't like Martin Luther. So there. Idea at wretched.org. Idea at wretched.org. I'm an adult child living at home. My mom has basically stated she wants me to leave home because she found out I wasn't wearing a mask or practicing total social distancing at a music practice at our church. Hold on. Not done. Another email. Hey, Todd, what does a Christian do when the government recommends we wear a mask but says it's not mandatory? And what if the government says it is mandatory? Well, who knew that the Christian would be dealing with such important issues like masks? Could you have written this a year ago? I don't think so. Nevertheless, here we are. Does the Bible help us with these situations? And I think the answer is yes. Yes, it does. Now, I'm tempted to tell you where I stand on the mask issue, but I'm not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. So you will just have to trust that I am doing my level best to try to deal with this as biblically as possible and having removed my preferences on the issue. Does the Bible talk about wearing masks? Yes. It doesn't talk about masks, of course, but it does talk about how we treat one another and how we behave around one another based on love. If this person's mom is freaked out because she's scared that she could get coronavirus, and I could make that fear go away by putting on a mask, what does love say? This is where Christian theological rubber meets the road. This is where our hearts, having been affected by the one who gave up everything for us, really gets kicked into gear. If you're one of those people who is an anti-masker and you are really passionate about it, I would simply ask you, don't go based on feelings. That is step number one in determining the correct response to a worldview issue. That is step number one. You've got to remove those emotions and feelings. You have to do that. Otherwise, it will taint the way you go about interpreting the scripture, and it most certainly will tip the scales when it comes to justice issues. Specifically, when I say justice, I'm not thinking of the contemporary usage of it. Anything that's right or wrong, you're going to lean toward your favor and your feelings. So lose them as best you can. That is always step number one. Incidentally, sneak peek, that's going to be the worldview project that we're going to be working on. I believe the date is sometime in August. Dr. Owen Strand from Midwestern Baptist Theological Sem, he's going to be joining us in Atlanta. And we're going to make our way through, I think, about 26 different worldview issues, step by step. How do you make a decision? Because there is a biblical method for it. And step number one is this. Lose your pre-understandings. And so it is. I'll try to do that with the mask thing, even though I have an opinion and so do you. Must I insist on my own way? Not according to the Bible. So I can't just say I don't like it, therefore I won't do it. That's got to go. That's removed from the Christian. It is no longer an option to insist on my own way. You say, but they don't do any good. That's not the point. It has nothing to do with whether or not meat sacrificed to an idol was actually sacrificed to an idol or not. It bothers somebody. And you say, well, that's just stumbling, and we've really abused what it means to cause a Christian to stumble. I grant you that that is what it is, what that is a point inside of the Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 through 10, twice from Paul, two different letters, lengthy treatise on this issue. When it's a gray area, it's an adiaphora. What do we do? Out of love, we give it up, because the kingdom of God isn't about eating and drinking and wearing masks or not wearing masks. It is about loving one another, because we have been loved so much. And so to this fellow, to this son, I would say, if that's what makes your mom feel better, I want my mom to feel better. If your mom said to you, hey, I've got a tooth that's grinding and it's causing me pain, would you drive her to the dentist? Of course you would. Okay. Why? Well, because you love your mom and you don't want your mom to be in pain. You don't want your mom to be afraid. So put on the mask. What does the government have to do with this? It brings another level of complexity. Now I've got a Romans 13 issue. The government encourages me to do it, but doesn't insist. Do I have to? No, you don't have to. You're not sinning if you don't. Now, what if, as the current presidential candidate suggests he would like to have do, mandates that we have got to wear masks and you're an anti-masker? Do you wear it? Here's my question for you. What does the Bible say? Bible says you obey the law. Simple. They put up speeding signs. You don't like it. You better do it. You're going to get a ticket. And they have the authority to do it. You say they're overreaching. That's not their role. You are correct. Nevertheless, we are not given a caveat that says we obey the government unless this. Now, there is one: when they are telling you to sin, you don't obey. If they are telling you to beat somebody up, don't do it. But if they tell you to put on a mask, even though you don't like it, they're not telling you to sin. They maybe are telling you you're going to have to do something that annoys you, but they're not telling you to sin. I don't see an option. I don't see a caveat. I don't see any sort of release from the mandate and the authority that the government has to tell us to do something. Does that mean that you can't blog about it? Didn't say that. Does that mean you can't start letting everybody know, hey, this whole mask business, I think it's just a bunch of nonsense because here's the scientific? Go ahead. But we submit to the government. We do what we're told, even when we don't like it. Now, if and you're wondering, am I just saying that because I'm a masker? It's not the point. Don't judge my answer based on me or my preferences. Judge my answer based on what the Bible says. And if you've got a Bible verse that overturns it, that's fine by me. I'll live with that because I want to do what it says. I just can't find one. Tony, you got a Bible verse that suggests otherwise?
Not right off the top of my head.
All right. And I guess, well, there's less on top of your head than there used to be, but nevertheless.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Maybe that's the trouble.
You had a big old mop of hair up there, didn't you?
I did.
Yes, we all did, didn't we?
Found out it's easier to care for.
So set your preferences aside. Set what you think my preferences are aside and ask yourself the question biblically, because this issue, it is inside of the churches. It's not just in this guy's home. It's in our churches. It's in our culture. We need to lose our pre-understandings and simply submit not to the institution per se, but to God. That should make it a little easier. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you're thinking to yourself, self, when Friel encourages us to support preborn at preborn.org/wretched by providing as many ultrasounds as possible for women who are experiencing a crisis pregnancy for just $28 per ultrasound, it feels so financial, so cold, so detached. So permit me to personalize my plea.
Hi, my name is Isabella.
Hi, my name is Victoria.
We are 6 years old. Thank you for helping us.
A $28 ultrasound. Two lives saved. This isn't just about $28. This is about real human beings. Mommies see that it's a baby in their tummy. They hear the gospel. Daddy hears the gospel. Babies are saved. Souls are getting saved. Please consider supporting Preborn with as many ultrasounds as you can. Preborn.org/wretched.
Don't know about you, but during these hard and difficult times, I'm getting really tired of hearing about these hard and difficult times. So, for some much-needed distraction, might I suggest a visit to the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There you can find full-length Wretched TV episodes, full-length hour-long Wretched radio shows, and the Wretched Store for all things of the biblical resources bent. While you're there, you can also become a gospel partner. Without the support of our Wretched gospel partners, you wouldn't be hearing my voice because, honestly, there would be no Wretched. Your giving allows Wretched to stay on the air and to reach people with the gospel each and every day. If you are already a gospel partner, please know that we are extremely grateful for you. And if you are not, would you consider becoming one? Visit wretched.org or wretched.org/donate for all the details on becoming a gospel partner. wretched.org/donate.
And now a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hold on. We have a naysayer or something. This is Wretched Radio. All right, Joey. As soon as we went off the air, you said regarding masks and whether you should wear a mask or not, there are some people who object to wearing masks because...
Because you don't get to tell me what to do. End of discussion. Yeah.
And I might agree with that, and I might not. Not because I'm being postmodern or double-minded, but the question is, by what framework are you using to come to that conclusion? If you are using a biblical framework, actually, I think that that's wrong. People do get to tell me what to do. And even if I disagree, if it's not causing me to sin, I do it because I love. Because my Savior gave up everything for me. And now I should find it easy to go, fine, whatever. You don't like me eating that? Okay. You want me wearing that? That's fine by me. As long as it's not causing me to sin. The kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking. It is indeed about what? It is about Jesus Christ, him being glorified, and we acting as his representatives and agents on this planet to show what he looks like. We should be the tangible expression of Jesus Christ. We do that best, by the way, as a corporate body gathering together. Nevertheless, I want to act like him. I want to show the world what it looks like to be a Christian, to be one who has been given everything when he deserved nothing but wrath. And so I give it up easily and quickly. Having said that, if I am operating merely with a constitutional paradigm, I can understand coming to that conclusion. And this to me is fascinating because I think this is where a lot of us struggle on these issues because you grew up with a lot of influences. You probably grew up in a time where you said things like the Pledge of Allegiance, you believed that America was great, You believe that America was a good place, and you believe that the Constitution was a magnificent document that has caused more human flourishing under this system than any other. That's in you. Now, as part of that, you recognize, and maybe you even lean more libertarian style, hey, the government has a very limited role in my life, and they do not have rights. They can't do things to me because we're a government by the people, for the people, of the people. So they don't have the right to do that. Hence the statement, you can't tell me to put a mask on my face. And I would say that they would have an argument if the Bible didn't exist. So now, here's where it gets tricky for the believer. The Bible would tell us, give up your right. The American Constitution would say, You should fight for your rights. Okay. And we see, by the way, Paul doing that, do we not? Do we not see him taking advantage of the system? So we can most certainly do that. We can operate in the system that we've got and work within the system that we've got. But now we've got this tension going on. And I see this blurring, and it's hard. It really is hard. Because it really demands that you try to pull apart a garment. Because inside of your thinking, like me, like everybody else, you've got all of these ideas and ideals and experiences and histories and understandings. They're all woven into you like a fabric. And your Christianity is in there too. In this instance, you've got the Bible saying you need to submit. And if they tell you to put on a mask, you put on the mask. Like it or not. Okay? But then you got some threads running through you that go, whoa, 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 whoa. Who does this government think they are? That's not their role. We did not enumerate those powers in the Constitution. I don't see that amendment. And the government, if it goes about the business of passing a law, I'm going to yell to it, keep your laws off my body. Now, where does that come from? It probably comes from your American ideals and history and understanding. Now, are those necessarily wrong? I'm not saying that they are. But if they are now coming somehow, if you will, into conflict with your Christianity, the question is, which thread's going to win? And that should be a no-brainer for us. The answer to that question should be, the Bible wins, of course. Now, we're not done yet. Because what you just heard me say is, so stop thinking like an American. Well, I didn't really say that. You can still operate within the system to affect the change that you would like to, as long as you color within the lines. Now, they may change the system, and that will be gone for you. That's a possibility. But in the meantime, you can operate within that system to affect that change. But until it is changed, the Bible trumps, no pun intended. The Bible wins. And even though I still retain from my American-informed understanding of how this particular culture and country still works, that I do believe that I'm right as an American citizen, as a kingdom citizen, which trumps, I give it up. Now, that's easier said than done, isn't it? And that is where we have seen evangelicals, I think, for decades get very, very confused. Because it makes it sound like we're not willing to submit. It makes it sound like we are pugnacious fighters. And I think that it is unmistakable that that is how the culture has understood it. Whether we did or not, that's how the culture has read it. And that's why when you say Republican, they hear evangelical and vice versa. So this is not an easy thing for us. This is not an easy blend. Do you know when this was easier, if you will, to be a Christian, quite honestly, to work through these issues? In the first century. Tell the government what to do. Disobey the government. Evangelicals weren't having those conversations. You did what you were told, or you got put in chains, or beat, or flogged, or killed. And so this whole liberty thing, a huge blessing, makes things complex. And I get that. And we need, I hope, to understand that different Christians are going to come up with different perspectives and angles than we do. And we shouldn't be going to war with each other over these things. But perhaps a way to help us through it is by recognizing you're a kingdom citizen primarily. You're not of an earthly kingdom. You live in a country. And you can be grateful for it. and you can thank God for it. And I believe because of under God, you can pledge allegiance to it. All good, but it has to be subservient to your kingdom position. And that doesn't mean don't do anything. Don't ever vote. Don't ever get involved. Doesn't mean that. It just means that we have to do it carefully and thoughtfully, all the while keeping in mind our preeminent citizenship is in heaven. Email sent to idea@wretched.org, idea@wretched.org. This is from, I'll just leave the name out. I'm pretty new Christian and have been going to church, but something I find really difficult to do is praying in front of other people. I'm quite shy, and I find it uncomfortable to do it. I feel awkward praying in front of other people. Is it wrong or unbiblical to not want to pray out loud in front of others? Thanks. I'm thinking of a Bible verse that talks about this subject and the specific command that says you must pray out loud or you're sinning. Joey, could you just search for that one? I can't come up with the address.
Is that the one where God recommends that we pray, thank, or that we're recommended to pray, dear God, thank you that I'm not like this man? It's somewhere in that area.
I can't think of a Bible verse that says you're sinning. If it's a struggle for you. Now, I would say this. You can analyze and say, okay, why is that? What is it that's keeping me from doing that? Is it a pride issue? Is it a sin issue? Am I afraid to be embarrassed issue? Okay, go to work on that. If it's something that your conscience is convicting you over, then try to write things down and say, you know what? I already wrote mine down. I'll just read it if that's okay. Okay, but I don't think that you should feel like you're sinning if you don't feel comfortable praying out loud. You can't make a law where there is no law. idea@wretched.org. Hello, Miss. Wow, look at this. Now we're getting someplace here. This is good. Hello, Mr. Friel.
That's 12 Mr.
We're getting into Kyrie Eleison broken wings territory there.
Maybe, you know what? You don't know this. See, I know everything from the 80s, Joey. When they got together the first meeting, they were going to be Mr. And then they tried to put it on a little 45 because they made those back then.
And they
it
were
didn't
too,
fit. They just cut it down to Mr. Kyrie Eleison. I go to a church service and I get bored easily. Uh-oh. I fell asleep the last three services. What's wrong with me? Well, it could be that you're not preparing for church. Something that we don't tend to do very often these days, do we? Sometimes we'll say, I better go to bed. We got church tomorrow. Thinking about Steve Lawson on Saturday night. It was like every night at like 7 o'clock. All right, son, we're picking out your clothes. That might explain Steve Lawson and his attire. And then we get the clothes ready. You get to bed. You get your nails clipped. You get yourself ready in the morning because we are going to church, son. It's a big deal. So if you're falling asleep, maybe it's because you're not getting enough sleep. What might it be something that is medical? Yeah, you could probably get that checked out. Nevertheless, might I encourage something beyond that? Engage. See, the church is not this passive thing. This better be a good sermon or I'm clocking out. Hey, these better be good hymns or I'm not singing. You are there to celebrate the King. And it is not a passive performance that you are doing. It is an act of worship in which you get to participate. So be an active listener. Take your notes. Do an outline. Write down the highlights. Think these things through. Ask God to help you not fall asleep during the most important time of the week. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.